everyone. Welcome to another edition of Bump and Run. This is Robin Vandenberg coming to you live from the Colorado Rocky Mountain High. I am here with my wonderful co-host, Mr. Tyler Jordan from the sweaty South, right? Tyler Jordan?
That's
and
right.
In the sweaty South where it's like, what, a hot 100 degrees, 100% humidity?
Oh, yeah. It's absolutely killer here. You walk outside and try to get a breath of air, and you wonder if you're going to get any air in you or not. But, you know, we're all making it down here. We're getting by.
Okay, well, I'm a spoiled little brat because I can't stand it when it's over 70 degrees. Like, I won't even – I can't have the heat on higher than 70, or I get mad in the winter. It has to be 70. That's it, 70. So it's like 85 degrees here, but we have no humidity. But at the same time, it's just so hot because we don't have air conditioning in Colorado. Nobody does air conditioning because it never gets this high, never. And this is the first season that it has, and I'm so pissed off. But you know, I mean, I guess you look for the days that have like a thunderstorm or a hailstorm is going to come, and then you're like happy. So, but we've got a huge, huge show today, and we've got some good news. Next week, we're going to be on WVLZ. Isn't that awesome?
That is great. Me and you both have been looking forward to this for a really, really long time. And, you know, for all of our listeners out there that don't quite know, this is going to be a really, really big deal for us, and we're super excited about it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we are. And today, I have to mention this. Today is my 18th wedding anniversary. So a shout out to my husband. Happy anniversary, babe. And I was telling Tyler when we were off before the show started, I was saying, you know, the key to a marriage working is you literally have to, one, be each other's best friend, and two, you don't have the ability to hate one another. Regardless of what you do to one another. I mean, like, I think back 18 years, we've been separated, we've, like, hated each other or tried to hate each other, and it just didn't work. I mean, there'd be days where I'd try to make myself hate him. You know, I was like, oh, you have to hate him. You have to. And it wouldn't work. I would even text him saying, I hate you. Da-da-da-da. I hate you. And then he would come back with something sweet, and I'd be like, oh, damn it. I can't hate him. All right, fine. We're together forever. Whatever. That's how you get through a marriage. You have to get to a point where you can't hate each other. Regardless of what you've done, you can't hate each other. Also, guess what happened to me, Tyler, last weekend?
What's that?
I became a Bella again. My firstborn.
I saw that. Congratulations.
Had his firstborn. I know, and it's
congratulations.
Yes, we had another boy. I have three boys,
so,
and I have three boy grandchildren. We don't.
So
make
when are we
girls.
Picking them out
we
of go
kart?
When are we picking them out
I
of
know,
go
kart? I know, Mom. I know.
Yeah, you got to start
well,
them young.
My
I mean, we talk about it every
five.
Week.
I
yeah,
know.
We talk
I
about
know.
It every week.
I mean,
you got to start them young.
Oh my God. I mean, I just reading an article that a 15-year-old was in the ARCA race. I was
oh,
like,
yeah.
What? You know, I mean, it's crazy. It's absolutely crazy. But let's give a rundown of what's going on today. We got a former co-host of mine, and I absolutely love and adore Brian Wall. He is my brother from another mother, Brian Wall is, and he is – driver at Bowman Gray Stadium, and he's winning. The guy's like on a roll right now. Did you able to go to Bowman
yeah.
Gray this weekend?
I didn't
yeah.
get to go, but
so
you know,
you
Brian, he is on a roll. You know, he's got things figured out pretty good. I think this is his second win so far this year, maybe his third. And
yes.
you know, Brian's like a
yes.
brother to me. Also, you know, he's a great friend. He's a great competitor, and I'm really excited about having him back on the show tonight.
Yeah, he's super sweet. I mean, I literally cried when he left the show. I was like on the phone going, do you really have to go? You know, and it was just a time issue with him. You know, it was a matter of time, not having, he's a single dad. He's a race car driver. He's got a full-time job. And he's just, you know, he's got so much going on. So, unfortunately, he couldn't continue to do the show. And I was just, like, devastated, you know, because he was so fun, you know. Now I have you, and I'm happy. And we're also going to have Michaela.
Right.
She's coming on. She's got a great question for you and for Brian. And I'll wait to have her come on, and she can give you the question. But you all stay tuned, because it's a really, really good question. It has to do with NASCAR fans and drivers. So you really, really want to stay for that. And then at 8:45, Brandon Stevenson went to Brahman Gray this weekend, and I think he works with the team at Brahman Gray this weekend. He'll let us know. And he took a bunch of pictures. He talked to a bunch of people. And also Robin Snell was there as well. If you all have not seen it yet, check out on our Facebook page. Our Facebook page, she has the Get to Know You series. She talks to Brahman Gray drivers. She talked to Taylor Robbins this past weekend. It's really funny. I think she also talked to Jason Myers. She did Robert Holloman a couple weeks back. So, and those get a lot. We've had over 3,000 viewers on those videos. They're pretty damn awesome. So we get so much going on, it's not even funny. We have so much. We've got people across the country and covering. This week, Don Silverman's going to be at Loudon. So we're wicked happy about that. Ah, notice how New England and Wicked. See? It just flows for me. It just comes. Right? I turned right back into that Boston girl when we talk about Loudon. You and I were talking about Loudon off air. It's not my favorite track, even though it was my home track. You like it or not like it?
Yeah, I like it. You know, like you were saying, you know, you think a lot of the racing is kind of just single file, you know, kind of not necessarily boring racing, mm-hmm. but not as exciting as other places. And, you know, I think it's kind of a one or two and five kind of shot. You know, it's every now and then they'll go to Loudon,
yeah.
and, you know, there's this crazy race, this, you know, short track type race, and, you know, they put on a great show, and then the other
right.
two or three times that they're there, it's just like, okay, is anybody going to pass? Is there going to be a caution? And, you know, it's that kind of deal. But
right.
I will say for sure that if you've never seen the modified tour race there, you're definitely, definitely missing out.
Oh, yeah.
Because those guys, they're passing for the lead three, four times a lap. And, you know, I've actually got
yep.
a chance to go and see the modified race there. And, I mean, it's absolutely unbelievable. You know, it's definitely a bucket list race, you know, for any race fan. And it's unbelievable.
Absolutely. And some of the great, you know, are going to be there this weekend. You're going to have Doug Kobe. You're going to have Rowan Penick. You're going to have Andy Seuss. You're going to have, Andy Slice. Sorry, Andy. Don't hate me. You're going to have, but he spells his name like Seuss, like Dr. Seuss, but it's Slice. And, gosh, who else? I'm trying to think of all the other drivers. I know that, I don't know if, Ryan Preece is going to be there, if he's going to drive in the, because I know he's in the NASCAR Uprush, he's in Xfinity, but I don't know if he's going to be, he might be, we'll have to check to see if Ryan's going to be racing in the modified race, but you're right, it's one of the best modified races I've out in, you're absolutely right, and you know, Don Silverman will be there, and the person that talks about modifieds the most up in New England, of course, is Don Lovey. He is a great sponsor for all those guys up there. I wonder if Andy Jankowiak is going to be there. I haven't seen him drive a lot. It's like driving me crazy. Remember he was the gypsy mod driver who would just show up at a truck and win?
You know, for the past couple of years, you know, you would hear him, like, you know, all over the place. You know, he would just show up and dominate, and then, you know, next week he'd do the same thing somewhere
right.
else. But, like, I hadn't heard his name a whole lot this year, so I'm not sure what he's had going on.
I know. Well, we had Kentucky this past weekend, and it was, you know, I love Saturday night races because then you have Sunday. You have all day Sunday to do what you want. I went fishing.
Oh, yeah. There you go.
So it was, I love it. I love the Saturday night races. I wish all of them were Saturday night because they're so much fun. But, of course, we had, I didn't get to see the Xfinity race, but I did get to which Kyle Busch won. So it's kind of like when you hear that Kyle Busch won the Xfinity race, you're like, oh, okay. Well, I didn't miss much.
Yeah, exactly.
I know it sounds so bad. I'm just being honest. I keep it real, people. I keep it real. I'm like, okay, well, then I didn't miss anything. But also then I did see the Camping World Truck Series race, and that was exciting. Those guys were all over the place. They were crazy, crazy good.
Yeah, and that's
they were
the
going
thing about
a little
the truck
nutty.
Series, you know,
yeah.
The Truck Series, they always race hard. You know, it's never just a ride around and a fuel mileage, you know. It's never a fuel mileage deal with the Truck Series.
Yep.
And, you know, they put on a good show, you know,
and
week in, week out.
You
it don't
hate
matter.
That.
I do. I absolutely hate fuel mileage racing. You know, it's just, it's good for the guy that has that just enough gas to get there and win. But, you know, it sucks for the fans.
Mm-hmm.
The show sucks. You know, it's just altogether, it's a horrible thing in my opinion. I kind of like what the truck series done and with the caution clock. You know, every 20 minutes they throw the caution. And, you know, once there's a caution, that resets when it goes back green. And, you know, that does away with your
big fuel mileage run. I'm mixed on that. I don't know. It is looking for good. I will say this. I do believe that the Camping World Truck Series is the best show out of the three of them. You know, because you get these young kids in there. You know, I mean, if you're over the age of 23, 24, then you're like an old man in the Camping World Truck Series world. And, you know, that's why Kyle Busch says it's like stealing, you know, candy from a baby, because literally they are babies. And, you know, you look at them and you're like, oh, my God. And we talk about this every single week. But they are diehard when it comes to taking chances. Like, they're like, oh, yeah, I'll pass this guy. It's only four wide. No big deal. I'll do it. You know, I mean, that's why I love them. They're so green or yellow, depending on where, you know, where part of the country you're from and what term you're using. But meaning they're so young and that they take chances where the sprint guys won't. You know, and they put on
absolutely
a much better show, I think. And go ahead.
And you know, they're kind of put in a position to where they not necessarily have to, but they know it's a good opportunity for them to. Because like you said, these are all young guys.
Yep.
And for the biggest part of the field, you know, this is their first time in the spotlight. And you know, we have the conversation week in and week out. You know, how everything's getting younger and younger. You know, these drivers are getting younger. And they know when they come in here, look, they've got to make a statement right now. You know, if there's a hole that I can get my truck in, you know, it's going in there or I'm taking out half the field. And, you know, that's what makes the racing exciting. It kind of brings it back to a short track perspective, so to say. You know, these guys, they're racers. You know, they don't have, you know, the billion-dollar contracts and they're not out just riding around on Sunday on cruise control. And, you know, I'm not saying that every cup driver does that, but, you know, they do ride around because, you know, they've got job security and they're set, you know. And these guys are out trying to make a name for themselves, and I absolutely love it.
You know, it's William Byron won. I mean, this kid is, like, incredible. But I was more impressed with John Hunter and Nemechek. And I'm a little disappointed he doesn't have more sponsors. Like, what more does this guy have to do? Because he's not riding on his dad's name at all.
Yeah, exactly. You know,
he doesn't want to be Joe Nemechek's
single truck team, you know, hardly any sponsorship whatsoever. And he's running up front. You know, every week that the truck's run, you know, you're going to see Nemechek in the top five. And like you said, he's not riding on daddy's coattail. You know, the name don't mean anything necessarily. And, you know, he's out there and he's making a name for himself. And he's doing it in, you know, nowhere near the same equipment that, you know, William Byron and Christopher Bell and all these other guys are.
Right, right. Yeah, no, I even said, you know, on Friday night, I was like, you know, what does this guy have to do in order to get a sponsor? I mean, it just blows my mind. And, you know, he does deserve a sponsor. And I just want to put this out there because I remember, you know, writing out that, you know, that tweet and then like literally 10 minutes later, everything blew up on Twitter and on social media because of what happened in Dallas. So we just want to put it out there to everybody that all of our prayers are with, you know what? I don't even want to say just with Dallas, Tyler. I just want to say with everybody. We all need some prayer.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? And we all need to look into our hearts and to decide that we want to love one another and not hate each other. So we'll just want to put that out there because people are saying, why aren't they saying anything about Dallas? Well, we are, but we're including the whole world. Because it's time we all woke up and decided to be adults. So, but we're going to go to a quick commercial break. We're going to be right back with Brian Wall from Bowman Gray Stadium.
You may not always drink beer, but when you do, make your choice. Noisy Lever Ale. Prepare yourself. DeWalt Brewing Company.
Eastlake Sports live Sunday mornings with hosts Craig Goldberger and Andrew Marchetti. It's 2 hours of sports talk from a fan's perspective. Have an opinion? Join our conversation live. Topics will range from golf and MMA to the major sports such as the NFL, the NBA, and Major League Baseball, and get everything in between. We'll cover it all each and every Sunday on the Inscriber Media Network.
My name is Nick Ficcarelli. I am the mad scientist of sports. Join me and the nutty professor, Andrew Grunkorf, live every Saturday night at 10 p.m. Eastern Time for the Mad Scientist Sports Lab. The biggest of wins, the experiments are on the short floor, and the guest subjects will become rolling in. Mad Scientist Sports Lab, where mad science and sports meets together. Be there!
And we are back, and we are back with a former co-host of this show, my brother from another mother, Mr. Brian Wall. How are you, Brian?
Fine, Robin. How are you?
I'm doing good. I want to congratulate you. You've got two wins going on. You won this past weekend. Tell us about it.
Like, just went.
How did it go?
You still call me ma'am. It's probably the easiest race I've ever run. We started on the outside pole, and it's the first time street stock at Bowman Gray's went caution free since 2000.
Whoa. How did that happen?
I all the stars must have been aligned right or something. I have no idea.
That's awesome. So are you in the points lead now? Because that's two wins for you, right? Are you the first repeat winner?
First repeat winner, but I've had two bad nights. And I'm still 42 out of the league.
Wow. Okay, so you're, but you have to be like 42 from the leader. So what are you second or third in points?
Second, I guess. I haven't checked the update yet, but I'm pretty sure it should be the second, 42 points out.
Yeah, I was going to say, because I think you're the only person who's won two, because, I mean, I just keep up with you guys. So, and you'd have more sponsors this year, correct?
Yes, ma'am. We've picked up actually three new sponsors, and they've been fabulous.
Okay, Tyler, I have to tell you something. Okay, I used to tease Brian all the time for calling me ma'am. And we're kind of
close to
the same age, and it used to drive me nuts. I think he's doing it just because he knows he can. Go ahead, Tyler.
So, Brian, you know, you're sitting second right now, and you know just as good as I do just how crazy racing at the stadium is, man. So, you know, you got some races left. You know, what's your plan to get on up there and get that championship?
I told the announcer after the race, as long as we keep doing what we've done the past 2 weeks, then we're good. I just, you know, Derek's tough. He's not had a bad week all year. He's been consistent, finished up there. I think his worst finish may be fourth. And
Wow.
You do that. I mean, consistency pays off over there. And if you don't have any bad nights, then you're pretty much guaranteed a championship. That's how I got beat in 2015 and 2014.
Mm-hmm.
Chase Hunt never won a race in 2014. He was just consistent, you know, top tens and top fives.
Yep.
And I had one or two bad nights, and one of them was on double points night. And fortunately, the two double point nights we've had this year, we've been okay. But we just got to stay consistent, and I don't wish no bad on nobody, but Derek's going to have some bad luck.
Yeah. Yeah, I know that you know, in fact, Derek won last year the championship, but you're still the people's champion. You always will be. You know, what blows my mind, Brian, is how you have so many fans. It's not even funny. I mean, I see, for those of you who follow Brian on Facebook, I mean, he has so many people that will post on his wall. And, like, you're like, I don't know, he looks like Kenny Chesney, for all of you who don't know. If you're living somewhere else and you don't know what Brian looks like, he looks like Kenny Chesney. But you're kind of like that.
No. You're getting it backwards. See, my goal in life is for somebody to walk up to Kenny Chesney and say, you know, you look like Brian Wall.
That's right.
But you have quite a fan base, that is for sure. And what is so cool, too, is, you know, did your dad race this weekend?
He did not. He was on the radio with my spotter, Chad Brooks, and he raced Caraway in this new tour that's started up with David Sales, 602 Super Limited Tour. And it's only four races scheduled this year, but he run last Friday on Bowman Gray's break, and he's kind of just took a break from the stadium. He'll probably end up showing up a few times this year.
But what's really neat, though, is that, you know, you've got your dad with you, and then you have your boys. You know, there's like three generations of Walls. You know what I mean? Your boys are in the stands watching you. You're driving, and Grandpa's driving, you know, or he's in the, you know, or he's being a spotter or whatever. I think that's what I love. There's so many bad stuff said about Bowman Gray, and I will always, forever, stick up for it and say people can't say a damn thing about Bowman Gray until they go there. Once they go there, you know, once or twice and see the enthusiasm from the fans, then they can talk to me. If you've never been there, can't say a damn thing. I don't want to hear it. You know, it's just all gibberish to me. And I love it. I want to go back in August, but I just had a new grandson, so I may have to go visit him first. But so Brian, are you planning on racing anywhere else? Because I know there's a lot of tracks right near you. I mean, do you ever plan to go off the grid a little bit and go somewhere else?
As of right now, with my children and the situation, I don't have any plans. I ain't gonna say that's not gonna change, but I haven't looked that far in advance. If I got my kids that weekend when I go to Bowman Gray, I got that covered. I got a nice lady that helps me out,
right,
babysits them for about 3 hours in the afternoon because they can't be in the pits. But when I start taking them
right,
2 and 3 hours away and I spend the whole day at the racetrack, it's just not fair to them because you know how 7 and 9 year olds can be. They're gonna get bored. And you keep them at a racetrack.
Oh, yeah.
If you leave at 6:30 in the morning and you're not getting home till 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning, I can't do that with them. So I haven't planned on anything, you know, other than just finishing out Bowman Gray and see what we're at. But.
Well, I'm going to keep you on. Okay, I want to keep you on because Michaela Mills is going to come on. She's going to talk about something that she saw in an article this week. And it had to do with the access of drivers for fans in the NASCAR level and in the local level. And she wanted to talk to you, Tyler, as well, and wanted to get your opinion on it. I have my own opinion. I'll wait, and I'll let you three talk first. But I have my opinion, and I'll tell you later. Michaela, are you on?
I am.
Okay, I got Brian and Tyler. They're ready waiting. And go, girl.
All righty. First of all, Brian, I want to say congratulations on the two wins you've had. And the second thing I want to congratulate you on is I saw today that you have been gotten the creme de la creme of honors because you have had a hermit crab named after you.
Yes, I've seen that. That's pretty cool. That same kid, he actually had a goldfish that he named after me last year. Unfortunately, passed away, but that kid comes by the car religiously.
Aww.
And I love him to death, and he's just the cutest thing you've ever seen, and you can't help but fall in love with him when you see him.
That's
he'll send
awesome.
Me videos every Saturday wishing me luck, and he's definitely a cool cat.
Wow.
Wow, you can't buy
that was really neat.
All.
Yeah. Okay, what I wanted to talk about was when they were in Daytona 2 or 3 weeks ago, there was an article and some talk that came out, and I think that the Drivers' Council, the Sprint Cup Drivers' Council, met in Daytona to discuss several issues, but one of the main issues that they talked about was fan access and dealing with fan access that the drivers are having to, you know, allow. And I think the biggest problem is at Sonoma, there had been an issue with security on pit row during the pre-race that was pretty bad. Dale Jr. and Denny Hamlin had agreed upon it. So my question is, to the two of you, and Brian, you can answer first, and then Tyler. What do you guys see is the best course of action as far as pre-race and the time leading up to pre-race for fan access? Should it be allowed, or when should they stop it, or how should that be handled?
It's kind of hard to speak on my behalf for the big guys. There's always something going on in the pits, the cars moving around. They have, on our level, you know, when they allow the fans to come into pits pre-race, and there's usually not much action going on. They run them out around 4:30-ish, and that's when the pits start being a little more lively with cars moving and stuff, so it's not that big of a deal. I don't know about the big guys. You gotta be careful, because, you know, you got fans down there that has no idea. Hey, you gotta look out around every corner, because you never know when a car's gonna be popping around the corner or this or that. But it's also needed. That's what makes Palm and Gray so good. It's so easy to access the drivers and be in touch with them, develop relationships with them. But then you got to worry about the security issues too, because, you know, people hate people. And you get somebody that just despises Kyle Busch, walks up to him and takes a, you know, punch at him or something. Then there's going to be a lot of issues with that too. But it's hard to say. It's kind of, you need to have it, but it's going to be hard to do at the same time.
Yeah. I understand. Tyler,
Yeah, now I agree with Brian, you know, for the biggest part, you know, NASCAR, you know, they're far more strict, you know, than a lot of other top racing sanctions. You know, NHRA, you know, every ticket is a pit pass, you know, and you go to an NHRA race and you see fans, you know, all over the pits and they're running around like crazy. But NHRA is a lot more laid back than NASCAR. You know, NASCAR, we've got live garages, you know, there's a blind corner around every garage, you know, up on the national level, you know, you've got all these fans just went and bought them a hot pass, and, you know, they're walking around, you know, seeing the sights, but, you know, whenever there's practice going on, you know, the garage is hot, you know, you've got cars coming in and out wide open. We're trying to get in, you know, as much time on the track in that hour and a half that they give us as possible, and, you know, you've got fans walking around taking pictures and sightseeing, and, you know, that's when it runs into trouble. And, you know, during the race, it's the same issue. You know, you've seen Kyle Busch hit the fan earlier in the year. And, you know, I made the comment on it then that, you know, that kind of thing does happen whenever you have fans that's unaware of the situation walking around. And as far as pre-race goes, you know, they're all out there like a big herd, you know. They look like a herd of cattle, and, you know, they're walking around, you know. All these tracks they've got a ton of track security, you know. Supposedly they're volunteer people that come in and work for a racetrack for the weekend. And, you know, you got these volunteers, and they'll blow their whistle trying to herd them back into the group where they don't want them. But, you know, you can't do but so much. You know, if you've got 10 volunteers and 300 people, you know, somebody's going to get out of line, and then there's going to be a situation to where, you know, there's a security issue, or somebody's going to get hurt, or, you know, somebody's going to be where they're not supposed to be. So, you know, I agree with Brian. You know, there should be fan access. You know, that's what the sport's all about. You know, at the local level, like Brian said, you know, when they come in, you know, there's not anything going on really in the garage area. You know, we may be working on the cars, but, you know, there's not cars coming in wide open all the time. So, you know, that's kind of your meet and greet time, you know, and that's what needs to happen, you know, at the short track level and at the national level.
See, I look at BCS.
I agree. And, Robin, I think you've got a good idea, too.
Well, BGS is sort of like, and the reason why I wanted to ask you, Brian, because BGS is almost as if you guys are legendary. You know what I mean? You guys are, like you said, Brian, you have a huge amount of fans. You know, the Myers brothers have a huge amount of fans. You know, Junior Miller has Danny Bond, all of those names. Everybody in North Carolina and in the South knows who you all are. So that's why we wanted to include you in on this. And my opinion is, you know, you said it, Tyler. You nailed it. Is the NHRA does it right? They allow every single person. They have it set up to where the black rope is there. You can't go past the black rope. The driver's there from time this to time this, say from like 2 to 4. You have your opportunity to go up, get your hair card, get it autograph and done. That's it. You're done, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. Then you've got people, you know, when I was at Phoenix, when I saw you, Tyler, there were people, I literally ran into so many people on Sunday where there was not one driver to be seen, not one on pit road until it was time, until they had to be there. And I was literally watching little kids crying because Kevin Harvick wasn't there or Kyle Busch wasn't there. A.J. Allmendinger wasn't around his area. You know what I mean? And I was like, whoa, NASCAR's really, really changed. Like,
NASCAR.
For 2 days, I had a pass. And I saw one driver, Daniel Suarez. That's the only driver I saw the whole weekend at Phoenix. And I'm thinking,
yeah,
wow.
That's the thing about them, you know, is they, all the NASCAR drivers, your Cup guys, Xfinity guys, the truck guys, somewhat, but not so much, you know, they're in the motorhome or they're in the hauler up until time to go get in the race car
right.
or time to go for driver intros. And, you know, whenever all the fans walking around, you know, they're in there not only to see the cars and stuff, but, you know, they want to see the drivers. You know, they want to be able to get their autograph, get their hero card signed and that. And, you know, whenever the drivers don't come loose until, you know, they're heading onto the racetrack or heading to driver intros, that's whenever the fans are going to go crazy. You know, if you give them a set time, you know,
and they don't want to
be behind the hauler. Exactly. You know, be behind the hauler, you know, like you said, from 3 to 4, just like the NHRA does it. You know, everything would be fine. You know, it'd be great for the fans. And, you know, NHRA never has any kind of problem with fan control.
No.
No.
And, Brian, have you guys ever had fans? Go ahead.
Ever had fans? I was just going to say, speaking on their behalf, and, you know, us just being on a local level, when I have fans come after the race, and it's overwhelming. Because you want to speak to everybody, but you got one guy that wants to sit there and talk for 10 minutes, and you're trying to not be so to speak, butthole, but you're trying to see these other people too and kids coming up. It can be overwhelming. And especially before a race, I'm not much of a talker. I got my mindset, you know, I don't want to talk. I want to watch the races. You know, if we're running later on in the night, I want to sit down, and you sit there, and I want to watch. It keeps my mind off of overthinking what I'm going to do when I get out there. So I can see that, you know, they don't want to be bothered so much, but it's hard. It's kind of stuck between a rock and a hard place. It's hard to say what, you know, these NHRA, the drag racing guys, they run down one stretch. It's not like you got people coming in pitting. You got people practicing, coming in, changing tires or making adjustments and going right back out.
Right.
It's a different deal there to me. But I see where they're coming from. I understand. Because if they're out there and their fan base is so much bigger than ours, you know, I got 20 people that might come by my car. They got thousands upon thousands trying to stand there.
Yeah.
And I can see how that could just drive you crazy.
But the problem, I don't know if you saw the race Saturday night. It was empty. The audience, there was like hardly anybody at that race. It was like embarrassing. But you look at all the fans. It's crazy. You see the NH. You know, I'm friends with Terry Blount. He's the vice president of media for NHRA. They're sold out months in advance now. Months in advance. So they're doing something right, whereas NASCAR is doing something wrong because nobody's freaking there anymore. Like nobody's there. The Camping World Truck Series, the attendance for that was disgusting. I don't even think they made a dime off of that race, you know? So I don't know. Is it because the drivers just aren't as available as they were back then? I don't know if I know they're not as exciting as they used to be. I don't know if I'm speaking just for myself, but there's really no big personalities anymore in NASCAR. You know, Tony Stewart has a big personality. He's leaving. You know, what are we going to be left with? You know?
That's the problem.
I mean,
that's the biggest issue. I don't think it's got anything to do with the fans meeting the drivers. The problem is it's boring.
Mm-hmm.
And you got a bunch of cookie-cut drivers that know how to talk and hold their cokes just right instead of your Ward Burton's that I used to love his interviews. I want to hear some country boy that don't know what he's saying and get excited and not be like he's on a commercial for Trident or Coke or whatever. It's boring.
Absolutely.
Your NASCAR's roots does not relate to these guys. And, there might be some talent out there, but, you know, where's these guys that work on their own cars and come out of the West Virginia woods and get grease under their fingernails? They don't exist no more.
Yep.
So that's what built NASCAR. These old guys, old rednecks, old moonshine runners, they can't relate to these guys. So it's not racing to them. It's just they jump in the car and they drive. They don't never touch nothing.
Right.
That's the problem.
No, you're right. You know, it's like.
I've said it a million times.
Well,
I ain't said it when it was on here. Follow your roots. They need to get back to their roots. Get away from these super speedways and go back to, you know, get away from these mile and a half, 2 miles. It ain't they're dangerous, first of all, in my opinion. Because it's just, there's no sense in running 200 laps. You might as well run 10. Because it's follow leader the whole way through the race. I know you put that pit strategy and all that crap in there, but that's what happens. Everybody waits for the big one, and then it's over.
Yeah. And I know with Daytona, everybody's favorites were taken out within, the first 20 laps. It's like, okay, now what do I do?
Yeah.
Brian, so tell everybody how they can get in touch with you, you know, because you do have so many fans. You're not even on Twitter anymore, are you?
I think I still got that account, but I got tired of trying to figure that stuff out. So I just basically
so
on Facebook. Through Facebook. I got my personal page, and I also do have Brian Wall Racing. And I need to get better at updating that page too as well. But that's about it. Either that or come to the track and come down to the pits after the race.
After the race, people, not before. So after. Thank you, Brian, so much for coming on. We hope we get to have you on again.
Yes, ma'am.
He's such a brat. He did that on purpose. He totally did that on purpose. You know, I think, Tyler, I understand what you're saying, but has there ever been, I mean, we have never heard of a fan attacking a driver. Like, we've never heard that before. It's never really happened. You know what I mean? So I think at a time where they need their fans back more than ever, you know, should they possibly do something like the NHRA in order to bring the fans back? So, you know, little Johnny and little Susie get to meet Denny Hamlin or Kyle Busch or Jimmy Johnson?
You know, I don't think that's a bad idea. Kind of like Brian said, though, I do have to agree with him. You know, there's not any personalities anymore. Like, they're all the cookie-cutter drivers that, you know, their PR person has told them, look, you have to say this or NASCAR's going to come down on you and then it ain't going to happen anymore. And, you know, NASCAR's got too much of a hold on the drivers and on the teams. You know, they can't be vocal. You know, they take away their freedom of speech. You know, back
last week,
you know, late 90s, early 2000s. What's that?
Who got popped last week for giving his opinion? Bubba Wallace.
That was absolutely ridiculous.
Yep.
I mean, Bubba said it looked like there were some Muppets officiating the race. I thought it was funny, you know. I don't blame him. You know, I thought it was kind of crazy myself. But, I mean, finding him the same thing you just find John West Townley for fighting the week before is just ridiculous in my eyes. But, you know, and that's why, you know, our fan base ain't what it was. You know, there are more people at Bowman Gray Stadium every Saturday night than there was at the truck race or the Xfinity race this past weekend. You know, people do not want to see cookie-cutter drivers go around in a racetrack, get out, thank their sponsors, and then go walk to the hauler. You know, they want to see these guys that work on their cars. They're passionate about racing. You know, they love what they do, and they're not afraid to show it, you know, if they have to. And, you know, that's why Bowman Gray is so successful. You know, Bowman Gray, after the race, you know, the pit gate swings wide open. And, you know, like Brian said, you know, I had the same experience when I raced over there last year. You know, people come to you over there, they love you, you know. In their eyes, you're a hero to them. And, you know, you get to connect with them on a one-to-one basis. And, you know, you can't do that. You know, Dale Jr. can't connect with everybody that walks up to him like that. you know, you just, you can't quite do it on that level.
Oh, my God. He's the biggest.
But
he is, like, crazy sneaky, you know? You can't find him on a weekend. You can't. I mean, and it's funny because, well, you can find him during practice. Yeah, he used to be a hell of a lot more accessible. And then all of a sudden, as time wore on, up to now, it's like you're lucky if you get to even get him for 5 seconds. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
you're lucky if you even get that selfie with him.
Like you said, he's a very sneaky guy. You know, I traveled on the circuit for 2 years. You know, I was at the racetrack every weekend, you know, for 2 years. And just past Martinsville, you know, I was there working with the truck. And I actually saw him, you know, for the first time in 2 years. He was walking out, you know, and came by, and we talked for just a few minutes, you know,
yeah.
We spoke, and, you know, just talking about this and that, you know. And he's a really cool guy to talk to, but, you know, he's not quite as open, you know, and he don't have that real loud personality. Like I said, he's a great guy, you know, super great guy to talk to, but, you know, he's not out and about, you know. He's kind of hiding like, you know, a lot of them do.
Yep. Well, we're going to go to a quick commercial break. We're going to get back with Brandon Stevenson. He was at Bowman Gray Stadium. I know we're talking a lot about them, but I don't know. Race there is a heck of a lot more fun than we had this weekend, especially with Brad Keselowski winning the Quaker State 400. I mean, I want somebody new to win. I want Kyle Larson to win a race. I want A.J. Allmendinger to win a race. I want Ryan Blaney to win a race. I want that. I want Chase Elliott to win a race. I want Josh Wise to be in the top five. Is that too much to ask for? We'll be right back.
You may not always drink beer, but when you do, make your choice. Noisy Lever Ale. Prepare yourself. DeWalt Brewing Company.
Tired of your coworker talking trash because he just laid the smackdown on your team?
Wondering why you always seem to be 2-4 after 6 games?
Wouldn't it be great if you had someone on your side to make sure you always made the right move?
Tired of getting the same advice from some idiot on the four-letter network that gave himself a nickname?
When you decide you're serious about winning, when you realize that maybe you can't do this alone, tune in to Fantasy Jam. The Buffalo and the Fish will turn you into winners.
Right here on this network.
And we are back, with Brandon Stevenson, who is actually at Bowman Gray Stadium this weekend. How you doing, Brandon? Brandon, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. How are you? Hello.
There he is. Great. How are you doing? We get you now.
I'm good. How
now.
Are you doing?
Issues. Really, really great. So tell us, how was Bowman Gray Stadium this weekend?
It was awesome. It started out, of course, you had the stocks that started us out. Brian Wall, let me tell you something, and I hate I couldn't catch him while he was actually on with you, and I don't know if he's still listening. He led off. From the start, he's found something that's working. He's got a mojo going. I definitely think in the weeks to come, he's going to be one to be reckoned with in that division. He's going out making a statement, and he's not just, you know, winning by these little gaps. I mean, he's going out and complete. I mean, he was lapping cars in Saturday's event. I mean, he has totally found speed. And I'm so happy for him because I know at the start of the season, it just was going his way, but I'm so glad that he's got all the kinks worked out. Some other guys in that division that are really stepping up, a buddy of mine, you got Fletcher Wade, almost shotgun on the field, stayed patient. He worked his way up to a top four this weekend.
Wow.
Jasper Sumner, I hated it for him. He had a really started having a step issue. That took him out of things. The street stock, I will say, has gone from being cautioned every other lap to they're actually able to run all 20 laps. Now, it's awesome to see those guys get out there and beat and race. I mean, and the fans are actually getting more into that. Settling down. And they're racing, but they're racing in a, I guess, level-headed manner. I know Greg Garrison went in there the other week and kind of put the hand guys. So I think his talk worked. Then after the street stock, the sportsman division.
Now,
go ahead, Robin.
I was going to say, I heard that there, I know you're going through the divisions, but I wanted to say I heard that for the modified, Danny Bond was not listed as participating until, I guess, I heard it was at the very end. He just sort of popped up, showed up. Was that the case?
Well, exactly right. I will be, when I saw his trailer come through the gates, I had to take a double It was good to see Danny Bond back at the mats, honestly. Not go out there just to ride around. He had a good modified, and he showed it for all. There was an incident that went down with him and Brandon Ward, and I will definitely say, you know, Danny Bond's interview – he manned up. He said he got in there a little too hot. He couldn't tell which line the Q104 car was going to actually take going into turn one. And so, you know, he had a run on him. And, you know, when you're going around a football field, there's only so much time you have to break, you know. And
right.
I think it was just a racing deal. I had nothing escalated after the race with that. I think it was just a racing deal. Like I said, you're going around a football field. What can you do? I mean, it's not like you were talking about Kentucky. It's not like you have this much amount of time to break. You know, it's you got to pick a line and go with it, or else you're going to get ran over. Myers, there. Go ahead, Robin.
No, go ahead. I'm sorry.
I was going to say, though, that Burt Myers, a couple times I thought Burt Myers had something for Danny. But I think Danny was playing a little bit of a cat and mouse game, and you know, he let him hang with him for a couple laps, but you know, put the gun down on it, and really, you know, was the star of the field in the modified Saturday night. So his first time over there this year, you know, he goes to the redraw, pulls out number one out of the bag, and just goes out and completely leads 100 laps. I have to say, I would be underestimating if I said that he did not take Saturday night as ecstatic night for his team.
I bet.
I will say this though, the sportsman division is heating up. You had a first time winner at the stadium Saturday night, Dylan Ward in the second race. Hats off to him. Zach Orr won the first race. You know, that division all year long, Robin, has been beating and banging, and you see racing for 20 laps. I got to say, though, drivers I want to get just because I work for him, but Zach Clifton and John Holloman in that class, the last two races they have done have absolutely put on class act racing. It's been nothing
but
phenomenal.
I have a question I have to ask you. I have a question I want to ask you and Tyler, because I want to hear what you both have heard. I'll have that you answer, Tyler, and then you, Brandon. Where's Derek Stoltz? Where's the Punisher? I miss him. I miss the fights he gets into. I miss all of that drama. Where the hell is the Punisher? Every time I go anywhere and I see that symbol, I'm like, Derek Stoltz was here. Tyler, where the hell is Derek Stoltz?
From what I'm understanding, Derek, you know, he's kind of doing the same thing I'm doing, you know, unintentionally, I guess. You know, he's taking some time off. You know, he's working on his car. You know, he's steadily getting the car ready just like I am. And
he's going to knock it off.
Hopefully.
Hurry up.
What's that? hopefully he'll get it out before the end of the year. I'm not exactly sure what his time frame is. I know. I'm working. You know, I'm still working. You know, I got the car about ready.
I know, but hurry up.
Hopefully me and him both. Hopefully me and him both can make a run before the end of the year.
Oh, man.
Brandon, what are you hearing about Derek Stoltz?
Well, the old Walker Town, I have actually heard in rumor that he will be back in August for the 100-lapper.
I hope so.
Very, he's working very hard on his car. I see him at the track Saturday. Like Tyler said, I think he's just taking, you know, some downtime. He does still have a car over there in the street stock, Derek Rice, who's running very well this year as well. And he does spot for Rice on Saturdays. But the Punisher, Robin, will be back. The Punisher is coming back. And from what I have heard, the time frame has been set for the 100 lapper the night that the Southern Wheeling Modified Tour is there. That is the time frame.
Wow.
I do know he's got his car rolling. You know, I bring the question up. A classic store class.
Yeah.
And he says that it's in progress. So let's hope that for the fans like you that miss him, that he will be there for the 100 lapper. Definitely. I do know that from what I see, he's got some new colors on. So let's hope the Punisher gets back before the season ends, because I know a lot of fans will be happy to see that.
Absolutely.
Go ahead, Robin.
Go ahead.
I was going to
know who Derek Stoltz is, you have to go on the Bomb and Gray. It's called the Bomb and Gray group thread or whatever, and just put in "Where is Derek Stoltz?" and you'll get 20 million different people answering that question, and there will be drama within the 15th comment. Somewhere there will be drama that will start just by mentioning his name. And I absolutely adore him. I adore Derek Stoltz.
Let me just say this. You don't even have to say, "Where is Derek Stoltz?" You can just look on any random comment thread and you will see Derek Stoltz pop up somewhere. I mean, he's there. He's there. And honestly, Derek Stoltz, one thing to say that really makes me respect him is Derek Stoltz has haters.
Mm-hmm.
Derek Stoltz has lovers. Derek Stoltz has people that wish his truck would ram into the guardrail on the highway. But Derek Stoltz, his heart and passion. Definitely go check him out. Go check him out. Also, Robin, he does have Facebook, Derek Stoltz. He'll add just about anybody. He's a great guy. Comic character. Very, very good guy. But, you know, Bowman Gray, Robin, I hate you can't make it out there this year. It's definitely an exciting year. We have the Monster Trucks on tap for this weekend. We have a Demolition Derby this weekend, 2 25-lap modifieds, 2 20-lap sportsmen, 2 15-lap stadium stocks,
wow.
And then the street stock goes for 20 laps. So we have a full card ahead this weekend. But, Robin, I have to ask, your disgust for NASCAR that I was hearing as I was watching, or listening, rather, who would you say at Bowman Gray is a driver that you follow week in and week out? And Derek Stoltz does not count, because we all know you love Derek Stoltz.
I follow at Bowman Gray, I follow Jason Myers a lot.
Jason Myers.
I've had Jason Myers on the show. I've had him on the show many times. I've had Derek on the show many times as well. I've met Derek. Derek is an absolute sweetheart. I love Brian Wall, of course. He used to be a co-host. But Jason Myers is a big name in Winston-Salem. He's a big name in North Carolina. And he's constantly, it's him and his brother, Burt and Jason. And I haven't met Burt, because every time I would go to meet Burt, he was very elusive, and I never got the chance to even meet him, never even got the chance to speak to him ever. Jason is available. Jason will shake your hand. Jason will say, "Yes, I have no problem coming on your show." Whereas Burt is kind of, I want to say he's full of himself, but, you know, the guy won't even come on a radio show, you know? And you know what, Tyler? He's getting too old for NASCAR now. Burt's like, what, over 30? Burt's got to be over 30.
Yeah.
He's too old for NASCAR now, Burt. You're too old. You're not going to meet a truck, man. Sorry.
Hey, but I'll say this, Robin. He goes out there. Burt is going out there and I mean, wheeling it like he's as young as me and Tyler are.
And Junior Miller.
I mean, Junior Miller parks beside us every weekend. I've gotten to, I mean, Junior Miller is a comic character himself. He's done a whole
lot
in racing, period. So, I mean.
Junior Miller was on the show last year.
Yeah, and he's just a standout guy. But I will say this, anybody that's listening that lives in the Carolinas, if you're looking for short track racing, if you want to take a good road trip, we have people from all over the United States that come out to Bowman Gray. It will not be a disappointment. I can promise you that. Robin, just get in touch with Robin, ask her about her experience. And from the drivers, I got to say one thing from the driver, because this has been going around a lot, Robin, and I just want to speak on behalf of Bowman Gray. Thank you to the fans, because Bowman Gray, let me tell you this, is the most controversial fan base that you'll ever meet.
Oh, yeah.
And I love it. I love it. I mean, it's awesome.
Yep.
It's amazing.
Agree. Brandon, tell everybody how they can get in touch with you, sir.
I have a Twitter account. I do have Twitter. I have figured it out. And my Twitter is type in Big Country 17. That will be me. I follow Robin on there. I'm getting back on my Twitter game, guys. So definitely follow me.
All right.
I got to
get Tyler going on it.
Definitely.
Yeah, I'm
slacking. Instagram. Oh, come on, Tyler.
You
guys on Twitter first.
I
have Instagram.
You got to do it.
And Facebook. So message me on Facebook. Friend me up on Facebook. I don't remember my Instagram name, so I'll give it to you over Facebook. But I'd love people to add me and talk.
Love it.
And Robin, thank you so much back on. It's been a blast listening to you. I love you very much, girl. You're the bomb.
Thank you so much, Brandon. We will talk to you next week, all right?
Yes, ma'am. Sure will.
All right, that was Brandon Stevenson. I absolutely adore Brandon. He's a comeback kid. I'm just gonna say right there. He's a comeback kid, sweet personality, and he's got so much excitement and fervor for Bowman Gray. Okay, so we're going to Loudoun this weekend. I know Prince Taylor, I still have you on. Remember when Jeff Burton used to win every Loudoun? Jeff Burton used to win every damn Loudoun race, every single one. And he'd be like, who's going to win? It's going to be Jeff Burton. Now it's like, who's going to win? It's going to be Kyle Busch. Am I right, Tyler?
Yes, you're exactly right.
I got 90
Kyle's
seconds.
Got place figured out.
It's going to be Kyle Busch.
Yep, Kyle.
Yep.
Yep, Kyle Busch.
Yep. Michaela, who you got winning? Okay,
well, I was going to say Kyle Busch, but I'll say Kurt Busch.
That's a good one.
Okay. We got about 60 seconds left. We want to thank Brian Wall for coming on. We want to thank everybody. We're going to be bigger, better. Everything new next week. It's going to be major WBLC sports. I want to thank Robin Rittner-Snell. I want to thank Brandon Stevenson, Michaela Mills, Perry Tucker, Kenneth Smith, Don Thompson, Don Silverman. You, Tyler, you, Michaela, everybody who has been a part of this with Bob Tack, we're all moving on over. This week's going to be crazy. Please come back next Monday. It'll blow your mind. It's just how different it's going to be in a good way. Tyler, I love you. Michaela, I love you. You guys have a great week, and everyone be safe out there. Okay? Just be safe. Good night, everybody.